You're listening to ABC Radio National's MP3 and podcast of the Media Report. Find out more, go to abc.net.au/rn.
Hello, this is the Media Report on ABC Radio National. I'm Richard Adey. Now it's time for a message from the government.
Unchain my heart, baby, let me be.
Joe Cocker in fine voice. You might remember that in this particular track he was extolling the virtues of the GST. The government's approval has softened this week because of likely changes to industrial relations law and some very effective ads from the unions. It's certain that the government will fire back with its own campaign because it's not short of money to spend on advertising. Sally Young is a lecturer in media and communications at the University of Melbourne.
It spends usually around $100 million a year at the federal level. Since the Howard government came into power in 96, it's spent about $900 million over that period. And the spending always increases just before an election, so usually in an election year there's more.
How does $100 million compare to people like Coke and McDonald's and Toyota?
It's up there with all of those, and in some years, particularly again in those election years when the government spends a lot, they're the top advertiser in the country. So over the past few years, they've been in the top 10 or consistently, and some of the state governments are spending more than many of those large corporations as well. They're usually in the top 10 advertisers in Australia.
I was going to get onto that, actually, because especially the bigger states in population and economy terms like New South Wales and Victoria, they do a lot of advertising, don't they?
They do. They do all sorts of advertising. Some of it's fairly boring and mundane sort of things like job advertisements and tendering contracts and so on that are advertised. Other things are the more controversial big theme campaigns, things about the tax system or drug and alcohol campaigns and so on, or some of the ads that we're going to see shortly perhaps about industrial relations changes and so on. So there's a difference between the campaign advertising, which is those big themes, and then the non-campaign, which is the more routine advertising that governments do.
All right. If we look at the non-election period, which is most of the time, how does one tell government public information campaigns from government political campaigns? Because sometimes it's a bit of a fine line.
Yeah, well, I mean, the government's supposed to be using advertising for information, for letting people know about changes to policy or law, for example. They're not supposed to be using it for political messages, for putting out partisan information, for doing ideological campaigns of any particular nature. So this is why it's controversial about trying to tell the difference between doing those sorts of activities, between informing people and trying to persuade them of a political case or a political message. So that's where the controversy comes in.
You didn't actually answer my question. How does one tell the difference then?
How does one tell the difference? Well, it's very difficult, the government would say, to tell the difference between the sort of information that they say they're putting out. They say it's about letting people know of their rights and entitlements and changes to law. And their critics will often argue that emotional type messages are creeping in. And this is something that you have to really judge for yourself, ultimately. You need to look at government advertising and judge for yourself whether you think it's trying to give you a political message and trying to persuade you, or whether it's just giving you information in a more neutral manner. So the example that I often talk about is the new tax system when the GST came in, and they had the music Unchain My Heart.
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
And that seemed to be quite an emotive message. They were throwing off the chains. If you remember, people were all chained up and they were throwing them off and saying this was unshackling. The old tax system was a burden. It needed to be unshackled. So that seemed to have an emotive sort of message. It wasn't just about letting you know about the nuts and bolts of the changes, but also trying to persuade you that these changes were valid and necessary and a good thing.
So aren't there any laws on this about what government advertising that's supposed to be non-political can and can't say?
No, there's not in Australia, and that's a big issue. The only guidelines that we have been in place since the previous government, since 1995 under Labor, and those guidelines were not changed when the Howard government came to power. And those guidelines say nothing about the potential abuse of government advertising for political purposes. They don't even mention it as a factor. So there's nothing to prohibit that in Australia, which is unlike the situation in many other countries.
What does exist overseas then?
In Canada, for example, they've just had a massive scandal there in the last few years about government advertising, and people were even charged with fraud and all sorts of things were going on. So they've actually brought in guidelines about trying to tell the difference between these very things about political messages and neutral information. And the other thing they do, which is very good in Canada, is they put up for public comment the advertising agency's brief about what the campaign is going to be about, what its aims are, and then they tell us also what its results were. So if it was an information campaign, they say how many people it reached, how many people rang the hotline, for example, or whatever the result was. So that way people can judge for themselves whether it was a valid way to spend the money.
What about involving someone here like the Auditor General? You'd think that that office would have something to say about this kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's certainly been proposed in the past by both sides of politics. In 1995, when the Keating government spent a lot of money on Working Nation ads about employment or unemployment at the time, Howard mentioned...
They're the Bill Hunter ones, weren't they?
That's right,
made you
yes.
proud to be Australian.
Yeah, they were very patriotic. Those ads were very controversial, and the Liberal Party then in opposition saw those as very political in nature and said if they got into power, they'd make sure all government advertising was scrutinised by the Auditor General to make sure that it wasn't partisan in nature. But once they got in, that didn't occur.
That is a surprise. What about the state politicians? Have they offered to go to the Auditor General?
Yes, as well. It's one of the most broken promises in Australian politics, I think. Latham promised it at the election last year, so we didn't get a chance to see whether he would have actually implemented this. But also at the state level, Bob Carr proposed it before he came to power, and so did Steve Brax in Victoria.
So people tend to be very keen on it when they're leaders of the opposition.
Yeah, they all think it's a fabulous idea then, because they're very concerned about governments using public money to disadvantage them in opposition. But once they get into power, they see, you know, how much money is available and what they can do with it, and they all tend to have done the same thing over the past few years, which is abuse this for political purposes.
So I want to be clear on this, Sally. This isn't just something that the coalition government's done under John Howard. This is being done by government of all hues in all parts of the world, I would imagine.
Well, definitely at the state level in Australia, it's a big issue, and at the federal level, it's not just the Howard governments, also the states, and Victoria and New South Wales are very big spending governments. Across the world, it's very different. Other countries do regulate against this. The United States had a law preventing use of public money for political purposes since the 1950s, so they do have regulations about it. Canada, New Zealand and the UK all have regulations on this matter. So it's really in Australia that we have the most serious issue with government advertising.
Well, what is the solution then? What would you like to see happen?
Well, there are a few things that could happen, and one of them is to use the Auditor General to scrutinise the content and make sure that public money isn't being misused. Another is to have a cap so that we determine, you know, a reasonable amount for advertising, and we ask that governments don't go over that unless there's an extraordinary case to be made in an emergency, for example. And the other thing that we can do is to have guidelines in place that talk about this very issue and try to prevent misuse of public money. So there are all sorts of things. But the other proposal is what Canada does, which is put all the information out so that we can see it. Because in Australia, there's a great deal of secrecy about this. The federal government's very reluctant to reveal how much it spends or what the campaigns are about or the results.
Now, just to come back to the industrial relations changes, what are your sources saying the government's likely to do? How much are they going to spend, do you think?
Well, we've heard that they're going to spend around $20 million, which is a large campaign in government terms. So we've heard that they're going to devote at least tens of millions of dollars to countering the union's message. And the union's ads seem to have had quite an impact, as well as protests and marches and workplace action. So the government seems to have been caught on the back foot in a way. So they'll spend public money, I think, to put out a message to say that these changes are necessary and positive and counter the union's message.
Sally Youngs at Melbourne Uni and author of The Persuaders, Inside the Hidden Machine of Political Advertising, which is published by Pluto Press. You're on ABC Radio National, and this is The Media Report. I'm Richard Aidy. We just heard from Sally Young on government advertising. Dr. Young's a former ALP member who, while she was doing a PhD thesis, volunteered to work inside the party's campaign headquarters. Our next guest has a completely different background. Stephen Bartos used to be a very, very senior public servant. These days, he's director of the National Institute for Governance at Canberra University. As a former insider, he knows a bit about how the government manages its advertising.
Government makes a distinction between what it calls campaign advertising and non-campaign. Non-campaign advertising is routine stuff like advertisements for staff, advertising for tenders and so on, and that's up to each individual department. But anything that's called campaign advertising, and that involves almost anything that gets booked on television, has to go through something called the Ministerial Committee on Government Communications. Departments make submissions that get centrally coordinated through a government communications unit located in the Prime Minister's department, and that government communications unit in turn passes it on for decisions to that Ministerial Committee on Government Communications.
So there are two bodies, this government communications unit inside the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, which is a sort of secretariat in effect, is that what you're saying?
It's more or less a secretariat for the Ministerial Committee, yes. That's its main role. It supports the Ministerial Committee on Government Communications.
And they make the big decisions?
They make the decisions on all campaign advertising.
I want to just get the Government Communications Unit out of the way so I'm clear on it. What does it actually do?
Government Communications Unit prepares the papers that go up to the Ministerial Committee. So what it does is it liaises with departments that want to run an advertising campaign. It helps them put together the paperwork to go to the Ministerial Committee. It then advises the Ministerial Committee. It also has another important role in managing the contract with the actual buyer of media. Government doesn't actually do its own buying directly. So the Government Communications Unit manages the relationship with the buyer. It does centrally filter everything. So it keeps a rule book as to what's allowed to be in and out. It keeps lists of the approved consultants. So it acts as a central control point, which is one of the major reasons why it's in the Prime Minister's department. It's part of making sure that there is centralised control over the messages that are going out.
It's sort of in lockstep with the rest of the world and increasing professionalisation in communication from governments.
Absolutely, yeah.
If we go back to this Ministerial Committee on Government Communication, in the life cycle of an ad, there's market research, there's setting a strategy, working out what the brief is, and then choosing who gets to come up with the campaign. They do all of that, is that what
you're
saying?
They do all of that. So they commission any market research of a value over $100,000, and that's the market research for any large campaign.
And that's anything for television?
It's really the control point for any television messages that the government wants to put out. So they approve the market research. They look through the market research when they get it. They then approve a strategy. They then approve a consultant. They then approve the final advertising. So they take a directive role at each and every step of the advertising process.
Now, I know that this committee is chaired by the Special Minister of State, Erica Betts. Who else is on it?
Even though it's called a ministerial committee, it doesn't contain ministers other than the Special Minister of State. Last time there was public information about its membership, it had three other members, two Liberal Party backbenchers, and Tony Nutt, a member of the Prime Minister's staff. The Ministerial Committee on Government Communications doesn't have its own website. It doesn't have its own publications. It's just mentioned briefly in a couple of lines in the Government Communications Unit's website, which is a worrying thing, really, because they're dealing with decisions about spending taxpayers' money, roughly $100 million each year. In some years, the government advertising spend goes well beyond that. In the year when we had the GST campaigns, it was well over $200 million.
Stephen, you're a former senior public servant yourself. If there is a committee of five chaired by a minister, but one of the five is from the Prime Minister's office, who's actually going to be setting the agenda?
Oh, look, the reality is that the Prime Minister's office sets the agenda. That's certainly the case under the current government. We've got a Prime Minister's office that's very powerful, and someone like Tony Nutt wields a lot more power than many ministers.
So the committee doesn't report to Parliament. Who does it report to?
That's a very good question. As far as we can tell, it doesn't actually report to anyone at all. So there's an accountability gap here in relation to the spending of those taxpayers' dollars. There's no reporting on the decision-making process out of that ministerial committee.
Right. Well, Erica Betts has been on this program before in May of last year when Mick O'Regan was still doing it. And he told Mick that this is just public information campaigning. Nothing to worry about, in effect.
Some of it is. Each year, the Defence Department spends tens of millions of dollars on defence recruitment. health department spends money on various different types of health promotion advertising, and those are just public information campaigns.
There's also the campaign to encourage people to become Australian citizens and things like that.
So there is a role for government advertising. Don't get me wrong here. I actually think that there's clearly a legitimate role for government advertising. The only issue I have with the current process is that it's hidden. It's not transparent. That we're spending taxpayers' dollars without proper accounting for it. That's the thing that worries me, because there's now a visible pattern in relation to government advertising. The 6 months before an election is called sees a spike in government advertising, whereas in any 1 year you might get somewhere around the 100 million mark in terms of government advertising, of which defence recruitment is typically the biggest campaign. In the 6 months before an election, you might get the same again being spent on a whole range of different types of campaigns that all have the effect of getting the government and its policies to the forefront of people's minds before they go into the booth to vote.
There was a lot last year on Medicare changes, I think.
Absolutely. So, and there's, I understand, speculation that there will be an advertising campaign around the government's industrial relations changes in a similar sort of way as there was an advertising campaign around their GST changes.
So your concern is that it's not a transparent process, and that can lead to a suspicion that it's a somewhat politicised one.
It's not a transparent process. There's no guarantees that it isn't politicised, and there's no guarantees that the materials that are developed as part of this are not being used politically. I think one of the areas that does concern me is that there's a huge fund of politically useful material developed through market research. If that's available only to the government and not to the rest of the parliament, then you do have a real disadvantage for people who are not in government. And so it's taking the advantages of incumbency, I think, a step too far.
Well, governments of all political persuasions are going to use all the advantages of incumbency, aren't they? I mean, that's happening right around the world.
And this is going to be something that a Labor government will want to do in the event that there's a Labor government in future.
Is that why the ALP has been fairly quiet about this? They haven't said a word, as far as I know.
I mean, there's a number of advantages of incumbency. This is only one of them. And Labor is unlikely to want to overturn the advantages of incumbency for as long as it hopes that someday it might be the incumbent itself.
Yes. Well, you can't really blame the government for acting like a government. But what about the press, though? This should be quite a good yarn, but I haven't heard a peep about it.
We could get a little bit cynical here, given that we're looking at a body that distributes roughly $100 million a year of taxpayers' money in government advertising. You don't want to get those people offside by criticising them or investigating them too hard. And I suspect that people realise that it's a dangerous step to take.
So you're saying that it's in nobody's interest to make a fuss?
It's in very few people's interest to make a fuss, but there are some positives. The Senate has started an inquiry process into government advertising, to which I made a submission. There's some senators who are concerned about this. The Auditor General suggested some guidelines should be put in place for government advertising. Government's never taken up that suggestion from the Auditor General, but I thought it was a very positive and useful step forward that would have had the advantage of making some of these processes a little more open to scrutiny and a little more transparent.
What else would you like to see to improve the transparency and accountability?
I'd like to see a little more of the paperwork that goes to it, the ministerial committee at least being referred to so that we can know the sorts of things that it does. We know it's a busy committee. The last annual report of the Prime Minister's department told us that the committee met 46 times in a year. So we know it's a really busy committee, but we know very little about it. I'd love to see more information about it being made public. This would assist in transparency. So this would lower the level of perception that the government is simply using advertising for political purposes. I'd really like to see the market research on which it bases its decisions much more available for public examination, because that would take away the huge political advantage that it will give. I think that's probably a wish list.
Well, you said it's a wish list. I mean, how likely is any of this to happen, Stephen?
I think some of it may happen if there's sufficient public disquiet about politicisation of government advertising. At the moment, I'm not actually seeing too much concern being expressed publicly, either in other parts of the media, as we've discussed, or through community groups. There does seem to be a general acceptance of the notion that it's fine for taxpayers' money to be used for government advertising, regardless of whether it's political or not. It would be in the government's interests to make more of the advertising apolitical if there was community outcry. I'm really not seeing that at the moment. So until there's any sort of pressure, the government's not going to have any incentive to change the way it does it.
We're an apolitical nation, Stephen. We'd much rather think about the footy or go to the beach, I think.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much for coming in and joining us on the Media Report.
No worries, Richard. Thank you very much.
Professor Stephen Bartos from the National Institute for Governance in Canberra. And incidentally, the full permanent membership of that committee Stephen was talking about is Senator Eric Abetz, he's the chair, Tony Nutt, the Prime Minister's principal private secretary, and Liberal backbenchers Tony Smith, Petro Giorgio, Susan Lay, and Andrew Robb. And that's it for us. Remember the website. It's at abc.net.au/rn, then click on the Media Report. My thanks to producer Jackie May and technical producer John Diamond. I'm Richard Adie.
ABC Radio National. More than 60 programs broadcast on more than 260 transmitters. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Live streaming on the net as well as media on demand streams. Find out how to get more out of Radio National. Go to abc.net.au/rn. And for the full list of MP3 and podcast programs, abc.net.au/rn/podcasts.